Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai.
Yeah, love to introduce freeze warning to the forecast. Boy, that's nice, isn't it?
You knew the time was coming, and here it is. I have not pulled in the pepper plants just yet, but I have a mental note to myself to do it tonight.
Well, you probably got to bring it in tonight, but you'll likely be able to put them back out tomorrow.
That's always the thing
about October, yeah. Right? You get some of these swings where it's super cold at night, overnight lows in the 20s here, but then it's pleasant throughout the course of the day. In a couple of months, it may not be that way, but we're still holding on here as best we can. But yes, could be crispy on the ground tomorrow morning.
It's now at noon on Wisconsin's Midday News.
With holiday travel season just a few weeks away, the government shutdown continues, and air traffic controllers are among those not being paid. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy was on Capitol Hill today to deliver a message. He blamed Democrats for the ongoing situation and said he is now hearing about it from the rank and file.
But I'm getting word now from Oklahoma City, where I have young air traffic controller students who are now telling me, what the hell am I doing? Why am I going to take this job? They're thinking about leaving the academy, smart young men and women, because they don't want to work for a system that won't pay them.
Air traffic controller is a high-pressure position. Some are turning to second jobs to pay their bills at this point. We're now in day 23 of the government shutdown.
An extensive illegal gambling ring is crumbling.
Individuals such as Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and Terry Rozier were taken into custody today. Former, current NBA players and coaches. What you don't know is that this is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years. The FBI led a coordinated takedown across 11 states to arrest over 30 individuals today responsible for this case, which is very much ongoing. The charges and the arrests that were taken down across this country range from wire fraud, money laundering, extortion, robbery, illegal gambling.
It's a crazy story here. This FBI director, Cash Patel, speaking this morning about the elaborate scheme. It involved NBA players, coaches, multiple mafia crime families operating for several years across multiple states. Terry Rozier plays for the Miami Heat. They actually played the other night in Orlando. He wakes up this morning arrested at his hotel room in Orlando, Florida. Jeez. So sportsbooks started to phase him out. They flagged suspicious activity from Rozier and a surge of bets on Terry Rozier props. And everybody was betting the under. This goes back to 2023. He was playing for the Hornets, and allegedly he was telling folks, hey, might come up with an injury mid-game tonight, so go lower on all my stats. And sure enough, he faked a foot injury and was all of a sudden out of the game, and people started cashing in, and sportsbooks said, nope, that ain't right. So they flagged it, and that's kind of where this goes back to with Rozier. Billups, he's the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, or was, former league MVP, NBA champion, part of the Hall of Fame. He was arrested in Oregon as part of a separate gambling case, and this is all linked to illegal poker with rigged games tied to the mafia. Damon Jones, by the way, the other guy mentioned, you might remember that name.
Played for the Bucks.
Twice. He had two stints with the Milwaukee Bucks. He was arrested for providing inside information about NBA games to co-defendants who used that information to place bets. The major crackdown here, 30 arrests, further legal action is expected. Terry Rozier is gone indefinitely now from his team that he's playing for, as is Chauncey Billups, who's the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. A wild story.
This is another story that sounds like it was ripped straight out of the movies.
Yeah, like the
two in a week.
Millions of jewels hoisted from the Louvre.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Movie stuff here.
Well, hey, it is choosing time for tens of millions of Americans. It's that time of the year when you have to decide on health plans offered by employers and whether to change from what you have now. How about some tips from CBS business analyst Jill Schlesinger?
Our first inclination, check the box, just do what I did last year. But these plans change from year to year. It may be that you got a new doctor or your doctor is no longer in your network. Mm. A drug that has been prescribed and covered, that may have fallen in or out of your particular plan. You've got to look at all of the plans available. Make sure this is where you can actually make a difference. Remember, we're talking about premium increases of 6 or 7%. It's about twice the rate of inflation.
choose carefully. Healthcare premiums are going up about twice the rate of inflation.
12:13 on WTMJ. Development in the Deer District. Josh Jeffers, founder and CEO of J. Jeffers & Company, joins us in studio to walk us through the latest project after this. Now at noon, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. It's sound advice at the best price. Visit flanners.com and just press play.
Site work starts next month on a big project that will transform another block in the Deer District. We're talking about new housing and facilities for MATC. The Bucks have teamed up with J. Jeffers & Company on the project. The founder and CEO, Josh Jeffers, joins us live in the studio. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me.
So take us into your vision for this block of the Deer District. And let's start with housing, because we've seen a bunch of new apartments go up in downtown Milwaukee in recent years. Who will these units target and what will they look like?
Yeah, great question. There has been a tremendous amount of multifamily development in downtown Milwaukee over the last decade. But a lot of it has been targeted towards what we call market rate housing. So these are luxury apartments that they're gorgeous, but they're very expensive and a little bit out of reach for most people. Our vision for the Block 5 site, the Fieldhouse Flats, is this is housing for the missing middle. Right. Everyone always kind of talks about this group of people that needs housing in downtown and can't necessarily afford the luxury apartments. So that's what this is. It's workforce housing. People talk about that term a lot. So the concept is it's 269 apartment units. The entire development would be affordable and workforce housing units for ideally people that want to both live and work downtown.
What does that mean, by the way? When we say affordable these days in Milwaukee, what is that price point?
Yeah, so affordable is generally considered anything that's, 60% of area median income or less, right? So that could be apartment units that are, by and large, on average, under $1,000 a month or up to that level. The missing middle that we sometimes talk about are workforce housing. That could be anything from 60% as high as 120%. Of AMI, which is kind of confusing sometimes, right? Like how could workforce housing mean something that's more than 100% AMI? And the reason for that is because when we talk about market rate, the market sets market rate, but area median income is sort of a different metric that gets tracked. So that's really the target market that we're looking at. Anything between this as low as 50% area median income all the way up to about 80%. Area median income.
So, Josh, how do you keep those costs in check, right? I mean, it costs more to build anything, right, at this point. And yes, you do have some high rises that are beautiful and luxurious, and they've got an expansive view, and you might even see Lake Michigan. These will not be that, but keeping those costs in check while still having a quality and well-built home or dwelling,
that's right.
How do you do that?
Yeah, so these will be Class A apartment units. And the way that we do it is through help from various tax credit programs that exist. So these are dollar-for-dollar offsets against federal income tax liability that will go to help support the construction of the building. So here in Wisconsin, we've got WEDA, based out of Madison, stands for the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. They provide a tax credit that helps offset the cost of construction. That, in addition to the city of Milwaukee, is generously supporting this project through tax incremental financing, which also goes a long way to offset our production cost of the building so that we can then turn around and rent the units out at a slightly lower level than market rate.
So we're talking about affordable units, but I imagine you still have some neat amenities because every apartment building these days, it seems like the next one and the next one just has bigger and better amenities. Than
the amenity war.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. So you really don't have to leave your apartment in some cases.
That's right. Yeah. This building will be an amenity-rich, again, Class A building where it has everything from covered, secured, heated parking built within the building, all the way to multiple outdoor decks on top of the building, outdoor spaces. Outdoor is a really nice amenity that we have here in Wisconsin. And then all these other little amenities you talk about, the pet wash.
Pet wash.
That's
okay,
right.
That's a good one. I always wished I had a pet wash.
You need the pet spa.
That is great. So the other big part of this project, so housing is a huge part of it, but also this athletic facility and the basketball court for MATC.
Right.
This is a big project because you're not just building the units, the housing units, you're also teaming up with MATC to find out what they need. So how did that all go?
Yeah, so we 5 years ago, our company did the redevelopment of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel city block of buildings. And as a part of that overall redevelopment, we built student housing for MATC, and we got brought into MATC's world and everything that they were looking for their students, which, again, that started with satisfying a housing need that they had with the old Milwaukee Journal Sentinel buildings. But at the time, we realized that they were also looking for a downtown student athletic facility. So this really means it's a regulation-sized basketball court. The MATC Stormers are national champs, and they didn't have their own designated court to play in. So that will be a part of this complex. We've got 30,000 square feet on the ground floor that will be designated for MATC's athletic purposes.
That is really amazing. It was years ago they had that rooftop sort of soccer field and multi-purpose turf field that was built on top of a parking garage. I thought that was wildly creative and a great way to use downtown space, which is not easy to find opportunities on your own campus if you're downtown for facilities like that. And it was brilliant. And certainly that area is no longer a concrete jungle.
That's right.
Go back to early 2000s. It was Mayor Norquist's dream. Do something with this area, please. So it's great to see it develop into what it is. What else is key for those who are living in that area, right? People don't want to go too far to get to the things they want to do, eat, drink, play, all that kind of stuff. What else is part of this development is critical for those who would choose to live there?
Yeah, so this location, so it's Block 5, right? It's right across the street from where the Modern apartments are, just to the east of the New Trade Hotel. It is in the Deer District. So we're in the big entertainment district of downtown, kind of fast becoming one of the higher rent districts of downtown. But you've got all the amenities of Fiserv Forum, all the other restaurants, all the entertainment. We're not that far from the Baird Convention Center. And this actually kind of ties into why we wanted to structure this as workforce housing, that there are so many people that work for a lot of those restaurants and shops and the convention center that aren't able to afford downtown living. So our thought is this is a way to provide housing for those people.
What is it like to team up with the Bucks on a project like this and other projects? Because I'll tell you what, as somebody who grew up in Milwaukee and grew up cheering for the Bucks, even when they weren't very good.
Yeah.
I mean, the new owners, this organization has just transformed not only the team, but our city, specifically the Deer District.
Absolutely. The Bucks have been a fantastic partner for us. They're contributing this land into the partnership, and they've been very supportive throughout the process. We've been working with them for almost 3 years on this project. And for anyone who hasn't been paying attention, the last 3 years have not been an easy time in the commercial real estate world. Interest rates have gone up so much, inflation, construction costs. All of these variables have kind of gone against us. And this project, it's taken a lot of twists and turns. And at every step of the way, the Bucks have been a great partner with us throughout the process.
Can we get a tour?
Right now, that tour is pretty easy.
Yeah, here's the dirt.
That's
yeah, right.
Yeah,
I know.
That's
in
right.
time, I would love to take a walk through it.
Yeah,
right?
We could do a hard hat tour at any point once construction gets underway next spring.
So what exactly is the timeline? Because we mentioned the site work starts next month, but then looking, what, spring for groundbreaking? And then how quickly might we actually see this building up?
That's right. So it's a big building. It's a very sizable site. It's over 2.5 acres of land right in the downtown. You mentioned kind of the Park East highway from 20 plus years ago. This is one of the last great developable sites of the old Park East area. So it's a large structure. It's got a big parking component to it. And this first phase of development that we're starting next month is really just footings and foundations, just preparing the site to then be able to build the structure on it starting next spring. It'll be delivered in phases. So the field house component of it for MATC would get delivered at the end of next year, 2026. That'd be kind of the first phase that comes online. Then we'll see apartments coming online in early 2027, and then the total delivery of the building around late spring, maybe early summer 2027.
Awesome. Another massive piece of the Deer District. Josh Jeffers, founder and CEO of J. Jeffers & Company. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Get ready, Bucks fans. It's time for Bucks Insiders on Wisconsin's Midday News with Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai. Your courtside connection every Thursday at 12:35, powered by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Bucks Insider, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Our weekly check-in on all things Milwaukee Bucks after a fine win last night. Kind of a convincing wire-to-wire, drama-free win. We like that. The Bucks 1-0 and off to Toronto for game number 2 of the season. On his way to the airport is Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. It's Eric Name. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well. So it was kind of fun to watch last night's game. What's different? What's new? Who's new? How do the rotations sort of plan out? What I was most interested to watch is just how much more pace the Bucks played with. And Giannis even mentioned it after the game. We're young, we're fast, and they shoot a lot of threes. So broad view, they look young and fast and like a team that's going to shoot the lights out of the ball.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you, kind of listen to what a team says in the preseason and in training camp, and then you watch the first game, because I think a lot of times we get to training camp and there are many buzzwords. Every team is playing faster in training camp. Every team is shooting more threes. Every team is being more physical. Every team is trying to run a little bit more. These are things you hear every year, and you never really know if it's real or not. The Bucks took three-pointers on 4 of their first 5 possessions last night. Miles Turner hit one of them. And then on the 6th possession, Giannis passed it to Miles Turner in the corner. Miles Turner pump faked and then threw down a tomahawk slam on a Washington Wizard. And it was just like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what they're going for this year. This is a little bit different. And obviously, among his fans in Milwaukee, I don't know if there's any bigger than of Brooke Lopez than me. I always really enjoyed talking to Brooke. He is a great player, but there are many things Brooke Lopez can do on a basketball floor. That is not one of them. He cannot pull off that play, and it just kind of kept going from there. You know, they take 28 threes in the first half last night. They only took 28 threes or more in the first half of the game 3 times last season. This is a team that is really built this way. This is the only way that they're going to be able to play, so they have to play this way. And I thought the first night of the year, again, it was against a Wizards team that I think most places predict to win 20 games this year. So it's not a very good basketball team, but at least all of the things that we were told in the preseason, told in training camp, played out on the floor. And that's always kind of what you want to see, just to be able to execute your plan and have it go the way that you want.
We liked the fast start. We liked all the threes. We liked the win, of course. Also, another big moment last night, Chris Middleton's return. Can you take us to that moment inside and how emotional it was for the fans? And was it an emotional moment that was also a factor on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a the relationship Chris had with Milwaukee was just so cool. The relationship him and Giannis had was just so cool. Like, when you listen to those guys kind of talk about it, I was happy to chronicle it over the years. I know they did an episode of Finalysis recently where they talked about it.
Yes.
As well. But, you know, neither of them were expected to be who they are. Giannis was a first-round pick, but everyone thought he was going to be in the G League for the start of his career. Chris was a throw-in in a trade, a second-round pick, a guy that was playing in the G League in his rookie season. And then in Chris's rookie year and Giannis's first year in Milwaukee, his first year in America, you know, they're fighting at practice. You know, one of my favorite stories I've ever written at The Athletic is Giannis, you know, showing me, you know, his arms and saying, yes, I'd go home and I would tell my mom and my dad, I'd say, this is Chris Middleton. This is what Chris Middleton did to me. These cuts are Chris Middleton. He's been doing this to me. I need to get back at him tomorrow. You don't get that in the NBA anymore. There's so many transactions. There's so many trades. There's so much free agency that you don't get to have those kind of relationships. And, you know, we were lucky enough here in Milwaukee to see it happen for 11 years. So last night, Chris Middleton's first game back in Milwaukee after getting traded last season was going to be an emotional one. At The Athletic, I had talked to Chris about it over the phone before he got here. We got to talk to him yesterday at shoot around, and you could just kind of tell Chris is very even keeled. He is not someone that typically shows emotion. And you just wondered, like, oh my gosh, is he going to get in the game and cry? Chris was very happy that he didn't cry during the tribute video or when they announced his name for, you know, the starting lineup or when he walked off the floor. But he did get standing ovations in all three settings, which is just kind of a really cool thing to see that Chris was able to get, you know, standing ovations in all those spots. Nobody cried. The game didn't get, you know, shut down or delayed for any amount of time because everyone was just so emotional. But you did just kind of see the city kind of appreciate what Chris had brought, and also Chris was able to show his appreciation. And after the game, I thought before, because him and Giannis are so competitive, you know, I kind of joked with Chris after the game, like, man, aren't you getting a little old to be taking charges against Giannis? Like, I don't know, man. And he took one in the second quarter, and he said, well, I might be, but I'm even older to try to go up and block his shot. So I knew I had to do something. So taking a charge was the right decision there. But, you know, even when he's talking about, like, hey, did you take a look around the crowd and see how many 22 jerseys were there? He kept the joke he's been running for the last week where he was just like, yeah, I did still see some 34s. So I didn't really like that. I wish it would have been all 22s, but I did see that. And it's just so crazy to me that, you know, people spend their money to buy my jersey. And then even when I'm playing for a different team, to still wear it, or wear it to school, or wear it to work, or wear it out, or wear it at an event, or any of these things. And he was like, it was just so cool to see. And, you know, both him and Giannis have lost their fathers. Yeah. And one of the things that he mentioned was like, I loved it, but I know that my dad would have loved to see it even more. And you could just tell it was a really emotional night. Luckily, for Chris's sake, he was able to play well as well, because obviously he cares so much about what he does on the floor. You know, 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists.
Sure.
A very Chris Middleton night. He was very efficient. He didn't get the win, unfortunately. But yeah, just it was just a really cool night at Pfizer for him last night.
So you mentioned two names here, talking at length about Chris Middleton, talking about Brook Lopez. And this team looks different, Eric. I think if you went to the Bucks game last night, you're maybe grabbing the program like, oh, wait a minute now, where did we get that one from? Where is he from again? Right? Because at this time last year, it was Damian Lillard, Brook Lopez, Chris Middleton, guys who are closer to receiving their AARP card than the legal voting age, which there lies some of the issue with the Bucks. They maximized the window with these guys. They won a championship. But when they got to the postseason, candidly, they looked kind of old and slow. Was it a concerted effort from the Bucks GM, John Horst, to find a team that could get up and down and floor a little bit more, play with a little more pace, run a little bit more, and fit into today's NBA, sort of a more modern style of play?
Yeah, I mean, I think the headline issue was trying to get underneath the second apron, which is so punitive right now. And if you listen to a lot of people talk about the NBA, you're going to hear about salaries and salary caps and kind of all of those things. And I think cutting some salary off the roster was a big part of this summer. And that started with the trade of Chris Middleton last year at the trade deadline. But once they got to this spot, I think redoing the roster and getting a roster that could really run was going to be a huge part of what they were trying to do. And, Doc Rivers kind of bristled at it when I brought up the idea in training camp. But I said, man, it feels like you and the whole league are trying to copy the Indiana Pacers. And he was like, no, we're going to be ourselves. But, you know, this is a copycat league, and you do see what teams are doing. And, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that Miles Turner is the guy that they helped bring in and or they brought in to help kind of move this along. He is only 29 years old, 8 years younger than Brook Lopez. But he can really move as a center. And then you just kind of go down the line and you look at their attack last night. You know, Giannis has 37. He's always going to be, you know, the head of the snake, the head of the attack. And then they have 6 more guys in double figures, 2 more guys after that that had 9 points apiece. So, and in between that, you don't have another 20-point score. You have somewhere between 9 and 17 for 8 more guys on the roster last night. And that is a very Indiana Pacers attack. Like, it's a very egalitarian approach where everyone's going to get some chances. Everyone's going to get some opportunities. And I think one thing that Doc kind of talked about in the post game was, you know, we might not have a number two scorer, like a guy that we know every single night is a number two, but we have a whole bunch of guys that can be number two that night. And I think that was a big part of the attack, getting younger. I put it in an article at The Athletic the other week, but, you know, this is the first time Giannis has ever been the oldest guy in his starting lineup, ever, his entire career. He's never been the oldest player in the starting lineup. He is that this year. Giannis has never been the guy with the most NBA experience on the entire roster in his NBA career. He is that this year. And that's not even saying Giannis is old, right? Like, he is in year 13, but, like, he still isn't old. He's still in the middle of his prime. So it was definitely a concerted approach and one that they executed on similarly to the way that they executed on their game plan last night.
Eric, real quick before we let you go, Kevin Porter Jr., he got injured last night. What do fans need to know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a left ankle sprain. It looked pretty bad. Doc Rivers said he was going to get an MRI today. I would say from the early indications from the team, I would guess he's going to miss some time here. For the Bucks, that means Cole Anthony steps up. That means Ryan Rollins steps up. Ryan Rollins started at the end of the season over Kevin Porter Jr., so I guess Ryan Rollins slots into the starting lineup here for as long as it takes, maybe a couple weeks, while Kevin Porter Jr. is out. But the way the Bucks made it seem, he is going to miss some time.
Off to a good start here. Bucks heading to Toronto. So is Eric Name of The Athletic. Don't forget your passport, Eric, and we'll check it again soon. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Eric.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yep, you bet. Bucks Insiders, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Time to recognize another everyday hero.
It's time to celebrate an everyday hero. An everyday hero is when we on Wisconsin's Morning News identify an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning they'd be saving a life. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living. Today we head to Pontiac, Michigan, ABC 7 in Detroit with the story. Chantel Woods lives with epilepsy, and she was cooking one day in her apartment when she became dizzy. She sat on the couch, and a moment later, she went unconscious and began suffering from a seizure. That's where her son Cody comes in. Cody's 3.
He had to unlock my phone, and he called Kaya.
Chantel says Cody put her phone up to her face in order to unlock it. Then he used it to FaceTime her friend Kaya, who lives in the same complex.
And I realized that something wasn't right, so something told me to just hurry up, jump up, and come across the parking lot.
Kaya tells ABC 7 she immediately called 911 because Chantel had called but didn't say anything.
He called me. And she didn't say nothing on FaceTime, so I knew something was right. I need the EMS here right now.
They're on the way for you. Keep breathing.
Okay.
Ambulance comes, takes care of Chantel. She's doing great now, all thanks to little Cody.
I was surprised, but also I'm happy that he knew what to do in that moment.
He's just my hero.
Who knows how long she would have been there without getting help.
He's just a smart kid, and I'm just proud.
Here's the best part. Neighbors in the area say little Cody deserves some accolades.
Man, he can get ice cream for the rest of the year, man.
That's right, Cody. You deserve all the ice cream you want for saving mom. If you'd like to see video of the story, just text the word hero to the WDTMJ Siding Unlimited talk and text line 855-616-1620. Everyday Hero sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WDTMJ News.
Always a great story told by WTMJ's Eric Bilstein. 1255 on WTMJ, Wisconsin's Midday News Podcast, built by Siding Unlimited. First hour, podcasted, ready for you wherever you get your podcasts. Check it out, Wisconsin's Midday News.